Intervju Radija Študent.
Pozdravljeni v Eriš intervjuju, moje ime je Luka Vučković, danes pa gostimo dansko zasedbo Wrangelklotz, ki bo nocoj nastopila v kinu Šiška.
Hi, Esben.
Hi,
Pernila.
Hi.
How are you? How was your trip to Ljubljana?
It was good. We were picked up this morning from Milano, where we played yesterday at some sort of fashion festival.
And it was a safe driver.
Yes. We're not too fond of people who race too much. It would be totally meaningless to lose your life in a traffic accident. So, it was good. And we slept a lot, both last night and then in the car, because from Copenhagen to Milan, we hadn't slept just about at all. So it's really nice now. I'm well rested and I just had a shower. Everything's good. And the venue looks really nice. So.
And nice mountains.
Yeah,
on
yeah.
The way in
I would, next time I hope to see him in sunshine.
Yeah.
And so how is the tour going?
The tour?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, we've had some really good concerts these past weeks. I mean, we do tours in, I think, a way that's a bit different from many other bands, where it's not, we don't do these 2 months or just 1 month of intense touring, because we are primarily a first day to Sunday live band. I mean, it would be sort of weird for us to play a Monday concert, for instance. So what we do is basically often go away first day morning from Copenhagen and then come back again Sunday night. And then we play first day, Friday, Saturday. And during the rest of the week, we, at least at the moment, work on new material in the studio. And that's sort of the routine.
So
at the
we're
moment.
Basically on constant weekend tour until September right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay. So what is your musical background? What inspired you to start making music in the first place?
I think my I have these pictures of me as a 2-year-old kid or something, where I've collected pots and pans and made myself a drum set and hit it with spoons instead of drumsticks, something like that. But really, I mean, the thing that actually got me started with an instrument was that I had this sort of a pseudo big brother called Mess, who lived across from my house. And he was an amazing guitarist at the age of 8, where he could play solos, and he was the cool kid in town. Not a big town though, but he was still the cool kid, and I wanted to be that as well. I wanted to be like Mess. So I got a guitar, and then that was like my main instrument for many years. I played some drums and piano and bass as well, and then at the age of, I think, 15 or something, I found out what the computer was able to do as a musical instrument. And that's really when I felt like I found my instrument. That's because I never really rehearsed much. I just liked playing songs and composing songs. And that's what the computer is all about. And then I've always been fascinated by sound itself. And maybe not so much in using years and years on achieving that sound myself. It doesn't matter if I can get another one to play the trumpet for me and it sounds brilliant, then I'm much more interested in having the role of recording that sound. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So the computer is perfect for me. Mm. How about you?
Well, actually I have my musical background in more classical music. I've been singing in choirs and churches, and so it's basically mostly singing, and I've also played some instruments in primary school. But besides from the classical music, which was what I was performing, I didn't really like make music myself until I met Espen, actually. So I can say that Espen was my inspiration to start actually make music and compose. And I, of course, I have this classical training, but I don't know how much that really matters now.
I think that that maybe training can take you to another level, but mostly, to me at least, music is about sort of feelings and creating feelings at the ones who listen to your stuff. And
yeah, I think the main...
So none of us are these amazing instrumentalists, but we are really good at knowing how a song should play out. And I think that's more of a matter of feeling rather than having taught yourself to do so. And Pernille is the one that I know that has the best sense of time in music. Like, what should happen now? Is this too much or is something missing? And that's very important, because that's something I can sometimes lose track of, because I work so intensely on the production, and sometimes you just get deaf from hearing something too much.
And how do you decide what suits best?
Often it's by chance. I think it's just often it's if something weird happens that maybe wasn't supposed to happen. That's my favorite moment, when something that something happens that I didn't think of and then did and then liked. That happens sometimes as well. But what I really like is that when I'm trying to do something and something else happens, and that something else was way better than the first thing I thought of. So
actually, it has happened more than once that we have some bits and pieces from different songs.
Yeah.
Or some different, I don't know, atmospheres, or just a drum beat or something, or a small vocal part. And then all of a sudden, it appears that, oh, this part actually fits with this song that we're about to make. So it's really like...
It's a lot of cut and paste actually.
And that's the beauty of the computer.
So we have sort of small pieces that hasn't really, where there was maybe a chorus that was good, but that was it. And then suddenly it just, we realized that it could be used in another context, and it's a pretty easy maneuver to do. And again, that's sort of the moments I really like, because you sort of compose two different things that maybe wasn't that good individually, but then when they come together, it makes sense.
Regular Clothes was primarily a solo project.
Yeah.
When did you come in?
Actually, I've been there from the beginning. We were a couple, so I was alongside in the studio while recording both EP and Beekeeper, but more as a... What do you call it? Esm has always
An
called
advisor.
Me. Yeah, the second pair of ears, and help recording the melodies and finding the way they should sound.
Yeah, was very much like a hidden member.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But there's no doubt about the fact that it's way more of a duo now than it was back then. Where where before, if maybe she said that there was something she didn't like and I really enjoyed it, then I would keep it maybe, because I had that power, and I've lost that now. we have to agree. Oh, and I think that's a really good thing, because I was sort of I was tired of being alone with a lot of the decisions, and I felt like it was time to do something else in the studio, and it just felt natural. Because one of the last songs that we made for the last album was Clouds, where we actually worked more or less in complete collaboration with that one. And that's one of my favorite songs off the album, because it happened very naturally. So So that's the way we do things now.
At what point of your life, actually music career, you moved to Berlin? Why?
We moved because I got an internship in a gallery.
Yeah, exactly.
And I took Espen along with me.
It's because, we'd been living in the same city for a while, like 5 years or so, in Aarhus, which is the second biggest city in Denmark. And it's a nice place, but it just got boring. We kept on doing the same things and seeing the same people and almost not going out anymore. And it was just, there was too much routine mm-hmm. at that point. And I just started at the music conservatory. Because I have this master's degree in electronic music. And there was basically no education. It was
no lectures.
Yeah, exactly. I just had time to do it myself. So that was perfect. And I just asked them, is it all right if I just do it from Berlin instead? And they were cool with that. And it was one of our best decisions ever, I think.
Yeah.
Because it was a second youth for both of us in a very young age to say a second youth, but we sort of we
had reached like
point of saturation or whatever. But the thing is that in Berlin it's a completely different thing. It's such a big city. There's so many different things going on constantly. You can just, if you want to do a techno night, you can do that. If you want to go to a place where I remember at that point there was a lot of Balkan electronic music, you know, before it had its big break and became annoying. There was this basement club.
And kind of inspiration was Berlin for you too?
I think it was openness toward just following creative ideas.
Because
it was not only musically, it was also just this vibe of creativity. And we always joke about in Berlin, everyone can calls himself an artist. it's so easy to like be an artist. Whereas in Denmark or in Copenhagen, you really have to prove that you're good at something or get something to an exhibition. In Berlin, people just put it out in the streets and yeah. So we got really inspired by that to just do it. Like, yeah, we have to start at some point, so.
And there really isn't that, as I said before, you can find every kind of genre there, and often you could go to clubs where they played a lot of different music. And the sort of stuff that I started making in Aarhus, I mean, I'd started Langley Plus, so to speak, like half a year before we moved to Berlin. It was very much in different directions, genre-wise, and we just, at that point, I decided to just give in to that and not try to make something that was more focused, but just do whatever we wanted and make it fit anyways, because that's sort of the mentality of Berlin. So I think in that sense it was very important for us to get there.
So which authors have influenced you during your music career?
Which what?
Artists. A lot of different ones.
Yeah, from very different ages of music history. We're really inspired by David Bowie and his chameleon.
Yeah, because he was probably more focused on an album basis, but if you look at his career in total, he's done so many different things, and he's almost done all of it with success. Not all of it, but close. So he's like, he's a really interesting figure and a smart man and good lyrics and some of the biggest pop songs that was ever made in, that's ever made in my book, like Life on Mars and Oh You Pretty Things and Changes.
Did you enjoy his last record?
We haven't heard the entire thing actually, but I like the first single.
Yeah.
I'm sort of saving it for a rainy day.
Where are we now?
Yeah, where are we now?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we thought it was really good.
Because, again, he does something that's good, that's in the spirit of David Bowie, and that is that now he's not trying to be anything else but what he is, and that's that he's becoming a really old man with a fragile voice, and that was really encaptured in that song.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's people like Portishead, and also another headband, Radiohead,
yeah,
and also Talking Heads.
Yeah.
Let's see if we can name all headbands. But that's
bangers.
We should have called ourselves something with hip.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Beach really House. Mm-hmm. And Beach Boys.
And anything else with beach? No.
Dirty Beaches. Actually, I like Dirty Beaches a lot too. We should have called ourselves Beach Hip. That would have been hilarious. Beach Hip. Would have been the best one.
Do you think it's too late to change the name?
I don't know. No, I mean, yeah, probably.
Yeah,
we
can name an album Beach Hip.
Yeah. It would be nice.
Yeah, but we have really broad taste in music.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because there's also very electronic things like James Holden and DJ Kutz and The Field and Jamie XX.
Blavin recently. Yeah.
There's a lot of really good electronic music coming out these days. I was sort of into trap for a while, but that's sort of eating itself already. I think the only bad thing I would say about the electronic scene at the moment is that after dubstep, it seems like there's this, with the trap now, a new scene that does the exact same thing that happened with dubstep, just with like 10 times the speed, and already it seems like it's at a Skrillex point, where it's just too much. And I'm a bit scared it's going to happen to a lot of other, on paper, interesting electronic genres, where it's just going to be hunt for the next song within that genre. Because that's, yeah. So what we do like about the electronic scene now is I think there's, in the underground, some sort of look back towards the sort of the beginning of house, and that's, for instance, Blavin, which I think does that brilliantly. Very simple structures.
What about performing electronic music? Do you like to stand by a laptop or using different equipment?
Everything that we used that we use is tied to the computer.
Mm-hmm.
But once the concert starts, we don't have to look at the actual computer unless we want to decide what song to play next.
Mm-hmm.
And can't remember where they are, because we have so many controllers that it's really just like a tape machine.
Mm-hmm.
And often I just hide it away on the edge of the stage or on a table or on a chair beneath the table, because it doesn't really matter. It's an easy way to take the music out of the studio,
because
we could bring along really expensive synthesizers and stuff like that, but the sound of software today is really good. And then if there's something analog you want to bring, you can sample it instead. There's just, I won't risk fucking up really expensive equipment.
Mm-hmm.
And the sound of the computer is really, really good today. I just think it's important to get free of the screen itself, because there's nothing worse than looking at either DJs or electronic artists who perform, who look at the screen. I hate it. It's like, it's a total deal breaker between the artist and the audience.
Mm-hmm.
Because a computer as such, like, is not a musical instrument. It contains musical instruments, but in itself it is not a trackpad. I mean, don't misunderstand me, it can actually be used as a musical instrument. It just doesn't look like one, because it's hidden behind the screen, and you know, you could play Snake or whatever. People can't tell. So you need to show people that you're actually doing something. And the equipment to do so is so cheap today that there's just no reason why not to. And we keep on building more and more stuff for us to do live on top of it. And still, we can actually just go on a plane with 20 kilos of baggage each, mm-hmm. and then we have everything we need. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, playing live is very important to us, to actually play live.
And how do you see it? As an extension of your recorded material, or are you trying to reach some new sonic levels?
Definitely trying to do something else with it. Because mm-hmm. in part, it would just be really boring to play the same song the same way every night. But also, I have this... I mean, we believe that there's no need to play the perfect version of the song, because that's on the CD, you know, that's on the album or the EP. If you want to listen to that, then listen to it at home. There's no need for us to recreate that. Then I think it's much more interesting to create something, and it's not like we changed them completely, but it's just a matter of feeling and the way it's being sung and how we deal with it, the way it's been mastered, if we put in more or less kick, and just tiny things like that can really change us all. So, yeah, I mean, in the studio, we're total perfectionists, but when it comes to playing concerts, we're just, if something goes wrong, it doesn't bother it at all, because, you know, then it's live. I've never had something technical that wasn't supposed to happen that happened, and then the audience gets mad. Often it's the opposite way. They're like, oh, cool. Then they can see it's actually live.
Something
it's
is like, going on.
It's yeah, exactly. Like,
yeah.
This wasn't prepared. And so we actually try to get to those places by taking on almost too many things to do so that we can't remember everything. Yeah, and then you have to focus, because if you don't need to focus and just do the same as you did the other night, then it's gonna get boring. And I've played these songs so many times live now, and they're still pretty fresh to me, and I think that means we're doing something right during the concerts.
So this is it.
Yeah.
I wish you a great gig today.
Thank you
so much.
See you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
Intervju Radija Študent.